hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
We're starting this amazing series. I think it's amazing. God, I-L-Y. What does I-L-Y stand for? See, by the time we get to the end, you guys are going to be belting that out, I think. So, it's one of those things where if you haven't used it on your phone, but you use, hey, honey, I-L-Y, and that's I love you. It's like a short acronym for these things. Today, we're going to look at a new one. You ready for it? It is, no, not that one, GFI. We're going to look at GFI. What is GFI? So if you're in a game, especially it's a collaborative game, say you're playing like World of Warcraft, or you're playing some kind of, World of Warcraft, League of Legends or anything like that, Apex Legends. So if you're playing a game together, and someone texts you or someone puts it into the screen, GFI. What does GFI stand for? Go for it! Go for it! Oh my gosh! Ah, first one in the series. Good night, everybody! Don't forget to tip your waitress. All right, so we're going to start off with some text this morning. If you guys have your Bibles, we're going to go straight to Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to be bouncing around, so follow the bouncing pastor with the text. So stay focused. So if you have your Bibles, it's in the New Testament. It's past the Gospels, past Corinthians. So it's Galatians. It's the letter written by the Apostle Paul to the city of Galatia. And the people that lived there were Galatians. What do they call people here? Christchurchians? Is that what it? What is it? Oh, it's not even church. No, okay. It's Cantabrians. That's awkward. Okay. Here it is. So I just want you guys to know this is how the Spirit of the Lord works. I and Sarah never discussed what we're speaking on, right? So check it. My whole sermon has to do with running a race. Here it is. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. If you have your Bibles, let me read it out to you, over you. I think this is one of those scriptures where you have to read over a person, over your children, over your land, over your car, over your house. Amen. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Pause. Did you wake up there? Let's say it again. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm. And then do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Next verse. I'm going to bounce to 7 and 8. 7 and 8. You are running a good race. Thank you, Sarah. You're running a good race. So who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. Bounce again to 13 and 14. You, my brothers and my sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. My wife and I started our ministry, our time together, with an organization called Youth of the Mission. And we were on the island of Maui. And a lot of times, but YWAM Maui would have two other bases, one in Honolulu on the Moana campus, and one in Kona on the Big Island. Kona is our larger University of Nations campus. There's something else that happens on the island of Kona every year. Do you guys know what it is? It's the Ironman race. It's the championship Ironman race. And to do the Ironman championship race, you would have qualified by doing another one in the world. So there's probably an Ironman here in New Zealand, most likely. So you would have to do that one first to be allowed to go to Kona, Hawaii, to do the championship race. So what the YWAM Kona base said, It was a great mission opportunity, a great outreach, is they actually, the entire base would serve and volunteer for the race. So if we had, depending on the t-shirt you wore, so if you had a blue t-shirt, you were helping on the street handing out stuff to the runners and the bikers. If you wore like a red shirt, you were a medic. If you wore a maroon shirt, you were an interpreter. And so like hundreds of YWAMers were deployed to help with the volunteering for the International Championship Ironman. So we got the call out from the Kona base. Would you like to take an island hopper and come and serve at the Kona race? And I'm like, absolutely. I think, way to see another island. So I flew into Kona. And if you've ever been to Kona, you'd know that it's not like the lush green in Maui. It's like landing on another planet. Because all you see is lava rock. It's just black rock everywhere. And I get off the plane, and you know, it's like when sometimes you go to a hot country, it just, you know, you come off the plane and it hits you like this. You're like, oh, that's a lot of heat. Woo! I'm like, I feel like the chicken I cooked last night. You know, like, it's hot in here. Like, and so I remember getting all situated and, you know, getting my t-shirt, and I'm like, why are these shirts cotton? Like, there's, everything's hot. So everything starts at the beach. What do they do first in the Ironman race? Yell it out. Say it to me. They swim. I'm going to convert it to kilometers for us. They swim 3.86 kilometers. Because it's not like Lake Taupo. Okay, thank you. It's not like a flat lake where it's do-do-do-do-do. It is raging ocean to a buoy that you can barely see. And they're swimming, not like, they're going, they're hoofing it. And they swim around the buoy and they come back 3.86 kilometers. And they're running, and the men are wearing little Speedos, and they're just shaking off their stuff, and they put their feet, their shoes are already attached to the bike. And they just jump on it, and they're boom. Do you know how long they ride their bike for? 180.25 kilometers in that raging Mars-like heat with lava rock beside. There's no shade. There's no banyan trees to help them cool off. It is like hot in here. So then they do this one big long road race. They come all the way back and they literally throw their bikes to their buddies and they just strip down, put the shoes on again, and then they run a marathon. 42.2 kilometer. This is where I met a man. See, I initially started at one of the tables where the transition was from swim to the bike. And at that point, they have so much energy. So I'm like sitting there like an idiot going, would you like some juice? And the guy just hits me. Like, yeah, I got way too much energy. So like, I'm like, why? I'm just like, would you like some juice? They're like, I have no time for juice. But I met a guy, and I'll call him William from Wisconsin. William from Wisconsin. William had done the swim, okay. He had done the bike. You could tell it was weathering him. The heat had zapped the strength right out of his body. And he had come to the transition, and he had started to do the run. And at that point, can you imagine, like your strength is just zapped, and you're going, I have to run a marathon. Like, you can't reconcile that in any kind of way. That's not normal. And so, and here's the thing. For an Ironman race, you have to finish by midnight. Midnight. If you come in at 12:01, they don't give you the finisher medallion. They just don't even write your name as a finisher. You might as well not have shown up. They just shut the lights off. They're like, yeah, well, sorry. So I met William later on that night, and William was struggling in the race. Now, let's look at the biblical exegesis of this. Content plus context equals two people. We'll get there. Okay. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm. See, I think the mandate of the Gospels is freedom. It's that classic Braveheart scene you saw with Mel Gibson playing the iconic Scottish character of who? William Wallace. Last thing you see in the movie, freedom! Like, he's just this amazing thing that he's wanting to declare over the entire nation of Scotland is freedom. Isn't that what God the Father is yelling and screaming from his lungs? I wish my church at South City would be free. Two people got that. That's how we need to be in that space every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. But can you imagine if you started your swim? You're standing on the beach of life, just like those Ironman swimmers, and you know they're about to embark on this journey, this race, this mini races. And you started off your swim with scuba weights on your ankles. The Lord gave me this picture of like those little square little lead weights. And they're just like all over you. Like, and you know that they're there, but you've just got so used to them. But you're about to go in this swim and dive into the ocean, and you're gonna try in all of your own strength to swim to the little buoy and back. But that's what that scripture is. He goes, stand firm. Do not let yourself be burned, what? Again. In other words, Paul's saying, y'all have been doing this for way too long. Stop. Wake up. Don't you see that there's lead weights attached to your legs and your arms? You know, like those little water wings that you put on the kids filled of air? But that instead, it's just sand. You're like, ugh. And you just sink. You sink into whatever it is, whatever sin or addiction or whatever. You just sink to the bottom. And maybe this morning you've come going, I'm actually at the bottom of that depth. And I barely have enough air. And God is saying this morning, stand firm in freedom. Nothing you could do to free those weights off. All those songs that we sang has to do with let Jesus do it. The cross cancels them all off. Amen? And that's what we do. We stand and are walking, but we're not walking wounded. I was talking to a friend of mine last night. I think too many times I see the church, it's like walking wounded. In some cases, y'all are walking dead. Where you look good on the outside, but you're decayed inside. And you go, hey brother, how you doing? And you put on a good act, you know, fake it till you make it. But how long is that gonna, like how long are you gonna do that for? Fake it till you make it. Because it's been 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. And then you hear all these songs, and there's a part of you says, I'm just so used to the weights though. Imagine if you took all the weights off, you would swim to that buoy and back and not even break a sweat. And you go, oh my gosh, I haven't done that since I was at camp when I was a teenager. And that's the promise that Sarah was talking about. That's the promise from the Word, is that He is beginning a new work in you. He's not done. I was told that Karen said this was the city of pylons. During the post-earthquake. This is all I see in front of you. Like, in front of me, it's just a city of pylons. God is at work. 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 He who began a good work. So as soon as you think, it's like, oh, I've come arrived, I'll be like, no, there's a pylon right there. God's still doing something. Hebrews 12:1-2. I want to read this because it ties in again to what Sarah was saying. We never talked about this. This is how the Lord's working. Look, it's on the screen right here. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off what? Everything. All those little weights. Throw them off. That hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter. In the Greek, it actually means the finisher of your faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'll preach on that soon, guys, so just hold on for that. Sin entangles us. It wants, its only agenda is to permanently disorient us, throw us off track. It wants to snag us and make us drop to our knees so that we cannot stand anymore to be counted. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants to make you stand and be counted. You matter. If you have heard like a contrary truth that you don't matter, I'll be the first one. Stand to be counted because you matter. You matter to God. You matter to me. I cannot do South City without you. Trust it. That's called interrelationship and interdependency. I believe that one of the chief aims of the enemy is to speak this lie to you that you're supposed to be independent. Be men of, I did everything on my own steam. Baloney. The best thing for you to do is to be interdependent. I can't do this job without Josh, and I sure as hope that he can't do the job without me. But notice this. As we all work together, our eyes are fixed on Jesus. I'm 100% dependent on him. But I need you. So if you haven't been standed and been counted, like you matter, you're walking wounded or walking dead. Some of my millennials get that. I'm not going to knock you in the head. It's not even a search and rescue. It becomes a recovery mission. But that's what God does. He will resurrect you from death and give you new life. Amen? So the Iron Man, William from Wisconsin, he's running, and you could tell, here's the thing, when the Iron Man runners are running, if they fall, if I'm working as a volunteer, I cannot go and pick them up, because what happens to that guy? He gets disqualified. So, and there's marshals everywhere. So I saw William take a header into the lava rock. Ooh. And he's like, ugh. And I went to go help him. And the marshal's like, don't touch him. I'm like, okay. So I'm like, later this, I'm like, hey man, do you need some help? Like, do you want some like juice? I'm like, the guy is like, ugh. I'm like giving him some orange juice that will revive his body. So I'm like, I go into my sergeant major mode. And I'm like, get up. Get up, maggot, like, move it, you know, and he's like, and so I asked the marshal, what can I do? He goes, you can run right beside him. So I said, okay, I'm wearing what you're wearing, like skateboard shoes. I'm like, this is a great opportunity to destroy my feet. So I'm going to run. And so the whole time, William is running beside me, but something happens. Because his body's so depleted. You know how marathon runners, they talk about hitting the wall, and now it's just a matter of how much damage they've done to their body. It starts right away for him. He starts bumping against me. So Josh, come here, I need you for a second. So imagine if Josh was me. We're running, and he just starts doing this. And all of a sudden, I'm like looking at the marshal going, I'm not helping him, but I just let him crash into me. I collide. He's colliding into me. Thanks, man. Go ahead. Yeah. So William from Wisconsin is constantly colliding into me, and I'm like caught off, and it's dark. It's getting, and when you go to Hawaii, it's once the sun goes down, it's pitch dark, right, Crystal? Remember that? And all of a sudden, there's part of this highway, there's no lanterns. It's just the highway's lit up. So when you go off, and if you veered off into the lava rock, we can't see you. And you're cut up, and you're bloodied from the lava rock. So I'm allowing him to collide into me. And he's like, oh, I'm really sorry. I just have no depth perception. I was like, that's okay, William. It's cool. He's like, and he hits me again. He goes, I'm sorry. I'm just like, I'm seeing double and triple, and I'm like, well, man, just look for the road in the middle. Like, pick that one. Like, you know. So he's for miles, and I'm running. I'm like this, and I could feel the blisters forming in my shoes, in my feet, sorry. And I could feel them popping, and I could feel it getting wet in my shoes. I'm bleeding, and it stings. You know, you've all been there. So I'm running, And now I'm like yelling at people on the side, I need juice. I'm like, what? I'm running with him. I'm bloodied with him. I'm sweating. And people are thinking like, is that guy like a runner? And I'm with William. We're talking. He's a philosophy professor at the University of Wisconsin. And I'm like, oh, I better not tell him I'm a Christian. And then, you know, so I just tell him I'm with YOM and I'm here to serve and care for people. Number two, who is the question? Paul recognizes in the text that it's going to be a person who cuts in on you. There's going to be things, people that are going to cut in you and deter you. You're going to veer off into the darkness. You're going to veer off the highway and land in that deadly lava rock and only to be like in the darkness. Who is that person that has cut in on you? Is it someone that you know? Is it someone that you don't know but has power over you? Is it a person that you've allowed to delay, disrupt, and to damage you? Because that's the thing, that's what we do. We allow these people to cut in. And they do the most damage to our walk and make us veer off into the darkness. Their agenda is to turn you around from Christ. They want you to actually, and that's what the text says, to not be obeying the truth. In other words, they want you to turn around and start running the other way. Not towards the one, the light of Jesus, the one that has called you. Their mandate, the people that are cutting in on you, is to mess with you. Why? Because they're just, sometimes it's because they're envious of your walk. Maybe it's because they love what you got and they just want you to fall. It's because of sin. So pray. Here's the other thing. Who can cut in on you is you. You are your worst enemy. You speak judgment over yourselves every single morning. You're shaming yourself. You're cutting in on yourself. You're literally cutting yourself down emotionally, mentally, physically. How many times I would stand in the mirror when I was in junior high. I hadn't had my growth spurt yet. And I was big and I was just wearing like jogging pants and I just hated what I looked like. I didn't want to, like, this is disgusting. All my buddies had already grown, and they were big and burly hockey players, ice hockey. And I spoke judgments on my own self. I was cutting in on my own self. I was taking my own self out. We do that even today. Emotionally, physically. What's holding you back, church? Is it fear? Is it peer pressure? Or is it just confidence to know, like what Sarah was saying, is that Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith? Well, William's body was, William from Wisconsin, his body was literally cutting in on himself. He was getting blurred vision. His equilibrium was off. He literally was becoming blind, and he couldn't run in a straight line. And we kept on wanting to veer off into the dark shoulder. Folks, that's what sin is. We're constantly wanting to veer off into the dark shoulder. And that's why I need you and you need me. It's so that we don't veer off into the shoulder. That's why all of us as pastors, when we meet on Tuesday morning, yeah, we're talking a little bit about like how we're going to pay for the lights and what are we going to do for this, that, and the other. But the majority of the time is we're talking about you. We're in holy gossip about how good God is in your life. Like we're celebrating in joy and going, look at this beautiful family. They're not veering off into the lava rock. They're right in the center of God's highway with their eyes fixed on the light. We're celebrating that, and we're praying that. So when you fill out those praise and prayer things, we take those serious. If you're veering off into the lava rock, let us know. We want to step in. We want you to collide into us. Maybe that's what I need to give you some prophetic homework. Let people collide into you this season. If you feel like you're in a season of strength, and you could take on that, let people collide into you. You might need to be that center for them for a bit. Here's the flip. If you're out and you're blind and you're struggling, collide into this church. Please, for the love of God, collide into this church. Collide into this prayer time that we do. Collide with the people that are in leadership. Because we want that. Don't ever come to me like, well, I didn't want to burden the church. Please burden the church. Because it's about Jesus, not John's show. Amen? That's where we'll see health and strength as a church. Notice I didn't say church growth. The New Testament never talks about church growth. It talks about gospel advancement. Because when you have those moments of collision, of real-time like engagements with Jesus, you can't not tell people about it. Be like, you be at Pack and Save. Dude, do you go to church? No, you need to come to my church because we collide together for his kingdom's sake. Number three, if you're taking notes, God's call to be agents of freedom for one another. You know that part in the scripture, you know, that you're to serve one another, what? Humbly. That means, let me tell you what happens. So I'm running with William, and it's getting late. I'm looking at my watch. It is getting close to midnight. I'm yelling at him. Come on. Pick up your pace. Do you want to finish? Yes. I'm like, I don't, like, I used to say like this to the army guy. Sound it off. Like, you mean it. Like, you like, I'm like, I want to finish the race. I said, really? I want to hear it. And he's like, I want to finish the race. I'll say, let's go. And you see a little bit more of a pace. And like a beacon, folks, like a lighthouse, there was the finish line, just over there. And it's all like fluorescent lights, and it says Timex, Ironman. And I'm like, now I'm on him, like, as he's colliding. And so it's like, do you see it? You see that twinkle over there? He's like, kinda. I said, that's the finish line. Oh, then it got more. And it got more. So as I get closer, the marshal, I can start seeing the word Timex. The marshal says, you cannot go into the finish line chute. There's a chute. It just goes like, it goes in. So only the runner has to go. There's a part of me that felt, oh, I'm getting, I feel getting shortchanged here. I've done a lot of work here. I want to go, ah. We did it. But isn't that how God is? When we're serving one another humbly, you might not get to go through that person's finish line. You gotta humbly go back and go, it's not about me, right? It's not about me, church. But then I saw William from Wisconsin go through, and his family is like still waiting, drinking coffee, going, where's dad? You know, like, and all of a sudden, it's like, William! Like, they're just, they can't, he's coming out of the darkness into the light. Like, there's a lot of scriptural stuff here. It's very connective tissue here. And there he is. He's celebrating. He's finished that race. It was like 11:50 and change. He gets the finishing shirt, and I'm held back before the shoot. And I'm excited. I'm a little like, oh, I wish I could have gone, not for my own self, but just to be with him. But that's, I think God was preparing me to be a pastor even then. That's what I get to do with you. Is I want to run with you all the way to whatever mini race there is, and you have a finish line, and I'm like, oh, you guys did it. You guys got married. You guys had a kid. You guys got a house. You beat cancer. Whatever it is, I want to, it's my heart. So I went back to Maui, flew back, and I was in the office, and I get this letter, this dates me, an addressed letter to John Thwaites, care of the base, and I saw on the return address area, University of Wisconsin. And I opened the letter up, and it was him. He remembered everything, every word that I spoke, every encouragement that I had. I was not expecting this. And you might never get the letter from the University of Wisconsin in your own walk with Jesus, as you do, as Julia says, the long journey with people. But I got it, And it was this attitude of gratitude that came from this guy's letter of thanking me so he could finish. Here's the meaning. Number one, start well. So as you're embarking on this, if you're a new Christian, new follower of Jesus this morning, and I know that there's some people here that are just starting this new race, and you're standing on this ocean like the hero pose, start well. Look down, intentionally look down and say, Jesus, do I have invisible lead weights on me that I just don't see? Because I want to finish well. But you need to start well. Number two is keep running and focus on that light. If you stop running, if William would have stopped running, he would have just given up. He would have just walked into the lava rock, and I would probably never see William ever again. And let people crash into you, or you might need to collide with others so you can finish the race. Number three, most important, finish the race. But Pastor, I'm 25. I got plenty of time to run. Okay. But Pastor, I'm 95. I don't have to have a relationship with Jesus. Just finish the race. You're not done until Jesus says you're done. So keep running. And like that last part, humbly serve one another.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.